The time now is very nearly 3 minutes to nine. This is Radio 3. Drama Now.
The Singular Case of Sherlock H. and Sigmund F. by Cecil Jenkins. With Ronald Pickup as Sherlock Holmes, Andrew Sachs as Dr. Sigmund Freud, and Norman Rodway as Dr. John Watson. London, autumn 1897.
Thank you, my good man. You can drive on.
I see there's a light upstairs. Not to mention the violin. You are a bit of a problem sometimes, aren't you, old chap? Worrying your housekeeper in that fashion. Oh, thank heavens for that. Sounded quite eerie in the fog, that thing. Mendelssohn, wasn't it? Yes, I'm really quite hungry, you know. Apple dumplings for dinner, if I'm not mistaken. Come on, Holmes, shake a leg, will you? I'm starving and I've a lecture to go to this evening. Good God, man, you haven't gone deaf, have you? Come on, Holmes, what are you playing at? This is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Mendelssohn, if you please. Me knocking like a fool at your door and you playing Mendelssohn. Never heard of such a thing. This is preposterous. Absolutely preposterous. Never been so insulted in all my life. The arrogance of the man. Mendelssohn, by heaven. Very well, Holmes, you can have Mendelssohn or me, but not both. Cabby! Cabby!
Confound you, Sherlock Holmes. You think I'm just part of the furniture, don't you? Good old Watson, the one fixed point in a changing age. Cabby! Cabby! Genius is, by God, genius is. Cabby, I say! Cabby!
Mendelssohn, he was playing. Mendelssohn.
Oh, yes. Are you wise to have another dumpling, Jack?
Wise, my dear? Oh, well, perhaps not. Mendelssohn.
Don't you like Mendelssohn, then?
But he may have been playing the confounded thing for the past week, from what Mrs. Hudson said.
Well, perhaps she doesn't like Mendelssohn. I wonder if they're not a trifle too sweet, these dumplings.
It was for his sake I went over to Baker Street, wasn't it? And Mrs. Hudson didn't come the whole way to my surgery this afternoon for nothing, did she?
She's a conscientious old thing, Jack. But she does fuss over him, rather. As though he was a Ming vase. What do you mean? The whole way to your surgery? Isn't Baker Street just round the corner from Mortimer Street?
She came up especially for the day from Reigate.
What on earth is she doing in Reigate?
Holmes sent her there a week ago. Well, last Saturday at least. To stay with her sick sister, he said.
Oh, that was considerate of
him. And it was, and it wasn't. It was to get her out of the way, she thought.
To get her out of the way?
Yes. He was a bit strange all last week, it seems. Not talking, or opening letters, or eating properly.
That's not so unusual for Holmes, Jack.
No, but the night before, apparently, last Friday, that would be, he came back very late with his clothes torn and his face cut and bruised.
Oh, dear.
He told her the next morning that it was nothing, that he'd just been set upon by some roughs. But he was most insistent that she should go down to Reigate for a while to look after her sister.
And she thought this was to protect her, you mean?
Oh.
In case there was some danger.
That's right. especially since he went upstairs and started playing the same piece over and over again on the violin till she left.
Yes, well, that might just have helped her on her way. But she popped back today to see if he was all right.
And heard him playing the self-same piece on the violin, she says. That Mendelssohn thing, I suppose. Except that it stopped as she approached, and there was no reply when she knocked.
But hasn't she got her own key?
It was foggy, and she was afraid to go in, I think.
Oh?
In case he was lying there in his own blood from one of them lords of crime and terrible fiends in top hats that he has to wrestle with, sir.
Oh, you hear such terrible things, and it's never been the same since that awful Jack the Ripper, as it, sir. Poor old soul. Well, at least you confirm that he's still alive.
Yes, but why didn't he open the door?
Oh, I expect it's just another one of those awful black moods of his. Life is dreary, dismal, and commonplace, Watson. There is no challenge from the criminal anymore.
No flair, no intelligence, no romance. Not since the death of the evil genius, Professor Moriarty.
I think perhaps it's a good wife he's missing, rather than that evil genius, Professor Moriarty.
He's hardly a ladies' man, my dear. Though he can be quite flirtatious on occasion. Especially with you, as I've noticed.
Oh, but it doesn't mean anything, Jack. It's just out of a kind of politeness. I do wonder, though. He hasn't been quite the same, has he, since that dreadful Moriarty business in Switzerland?
That's some years ago now, my dear.
I mean, you don't think he's still feeling some sort of remorse?
Remorse? Why should he feel remorse?
Well, he did kill Moriarty, didn't he? At those Reichenbach Falls.
But good heavens, he only killed Moriarty because Moriarty was trying to kill him. When you're on a narrow ledge, hundreds of feet above murderous rocks and a torrent of raging water and a fiend like Moriarty comes towards you. I mean, heavens above.
Well, it's just the way he disappeared for 3 whole years afterwards, doing such strange things, wandering around in Tibet, going to Mecca in disguise, doing research in France into coal tar something or other.
But he had to stay in hiding to escape from Moriarty's minions, didn't he? I mean, didn't he?
Oh, I expect so, Jack. It's merely that the whole thing seemed a little, well, peculiar. But he's so pessimistic these days, isn't he? Talking about dangerous new German ideas or some such.
Nietzsche. Some German philosopher or other called Nietzsche.
And hinting darkly that there's going to be a conflagration, whatever that is.
Some sort of general war in Europe, I suppose. That seemed pretty implausible. Why the devil didn't he open the door, though?
You don't think he's in any real danger, do you?
Well, I don't know. I was just so cross at him, leaving me standing like a fool on the doorstep, when he could have seen me perfectly clearly under the gaslight.
Well, if you're still worried, Jack, you must have that last dumpling and go back over to Baker Street. But what about that lecture you were going to?
I know, the lecture at Bart's. I very much wanted to go to that.
You did seem unusually keen, I must say.
Well, Sir Reginald enclosed a special note with the invitation, you see. Quite extraordinary, really, and most flattering. Haven't seen the old chief for years. I can only assume he's read my recent monograph in the British Medical Journal.
Well, then, I really think you ought to go, Jack. Holmes will still be fiddling away merrily tomorrow morning, I expect. Who's the lecturer?
You know, some foreign chappie. An alienist called Freud or something. From Vienna. Oh. Where that Mendelssohn fellow used to hang out, I expect.
Well, gentlemen, since I unfortunately see no ladies before me, there is little more I can tell you about the treatment of hysteria. I hope that I show that the physical symptoms of your English hysterics, like those of our Austro-Hungarian hysterics, spring directly from hidden psychological causes. They are not accidental or meaningless, or the result of your London fog. Thank you, gentlemen. But You must also thank this very clever English assistant the hospital gives me, huh? Other times the lantern slides, they're back to front or downside up, so my lecture on hysteria ends in hysteria. I see that you have one final question. Sir, there.
Who, me?
Yes, you, sir.
Well, actually, I wasn't, but... Still, if no one else is coming forward, perhaps there is one question that occurs to me of a very general character.
Well, I am, as you English say, all eyes, sir.
Yes. It concerns your method, Dr. Freud.
Yes, of course, Dr.
Watson.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by your reference to a closed energy system, I believe you called it.
Ah, yeah, yeah. The scientific method of our great Professor Helmholtz in physiology and physics, of the Frenchman Carnot in thermodynamics.
Quite. A system in which energy is transformed, then, but not lost. As water might turn into steam, and steam into water again in an insulated vessel.
Yes, exactly, sir. A dynamic total system in which everything is relevant and nothing is accidental.
And you apply this scientific method to the mind of the hysteric.
Also to my mind and to your mind, Dr. Watson.
So what is conscious can become unconscious or vice versa, like the steam and the water. And from seemingly insignificant details such as a stray remark, a slip of the tongue, an odd incident in a dream... You can somehow detect.
Yeah, I can detect, Dr. Watson. I can detect. As I detect from your build and your upstanding that you have probably been a military man already. As I detect from the way you have shifted your weight since you stood up that you have probably been wounded already. As I detect from a flush and a little small shiver that you are perhaps having a mild return of malaria? Do I therefore detect that you were an army surgeon, wounded in the right knee, in what you English call the Second Afghan War, sir?
You do indeed, sir.
From which, and from your presence here, I at once detect that you are Dr. John Watson, one time of this St. Bartholomew's Hospital, but now in private practice, yeah? And author of a remarkable recent paper, if I mistake me not, on obscure nervous lesions. Thank you. Well, the heavens are good indeed, Dr. Watson, for I no longer need your mention of detecting to detect that you are the colleague and commentator of the great English detective, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. But, of course, since I know nothing of your dreams or the contents of your unconscious, I can detect nothing of significance, absolutely nothing. Thank you for your assistance, Dr. Watson.
Ja, aber das ist natürlich keine haltbare Hypothese. Ja, aber da ist ja Herr Dr. Watson.
Entschuldigung.
So I find you at last. You saved me from this angry Swiss man, yeah?
And well, your lecture was rather revolutionary, Dr. Freud.
Oh, yes, but he argues about Sherlock Holmes and not about hysteria. Even this assistance they give me for lantern slides thinks about Sherlock Holmes and not about hysteria. But I think we detect by the same scientific method, not so?
Well, that is precisely what I found so uncanny.
Uncanny?
So strange, so mysterious.
Aha, uncanny, unheimlich, yeah. So my English is tired, I fear.
Yeah, on the contrary, I find it remarkable. You're obviously no stranger to England.
Oh, I came as a young man. I lived for a time in Manchester. It was wet, it was nice, I was young. But You're not unhappy that I use you to demonstrate the importance of the unconscious?
Well, not in the least. Mm. It was most illuminating.
Yes. We must talk more about your work on nervous lesions.
Yes, well, that would be most gratifying, I'm sure.
I do admire you both, you and Mr. Holmes.
But you're too kind. It's all Holmes, you know. I merely chronicle some of his cases.
No, I think you're too modest. I think perhaps Sherlock Holmes is not so modest, yeah?
Well, he has indicated that modesty is not a kind of dishonesty which he would care to cultivate.
Yes. I particularly admired your account of his great struggle at the Reichenbach Falls against Professor Mortuary.
Professor Moriarty.
Hmm? Ich habe noch einmal. Moriarty, yes. I make mistakes sometimes.
Oh, just a slip of the tongue.
Oh, but a Freud slip, I think, yes. Not accidental, no doubt, no. How interesting it would be to discuss this Mephistopheles Moriarty with your Sherlock Holmes. And to continue talking about your work on nervous lesions, naturally.
Yes, well, you're most kind, and I'm sure some arrangement could be made. How long are you staying in London?
As long as is necessary, Dr. Watson. I am master of my time.
Well, that's splendid. Would you perhaps care to come to dinner one evening?
Oh.
I'm afraid Holmes has been a little inaccessible recently, but I shall do my best to persuade him.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure it would invigorate him tremendously to meet a fellow detective. If in the area of the unconscious mind.
Oh, well, I accept your invitation with pleasure. Yes, I am fortunately free tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow evening. Yes, of course, I can certainly call on Holmes in the morning. Tomorrow evening it is, Dr. Freud. Allow me to present you with my card.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. And I look forward to continuing our talk about your obscure nervous lesions. Oh, I see Sir Reginald making signs to me, I think. Is not the Demarais of Paris he's talking to? Oh, mais je savais absolument pas que vous étiez à Londres, mon cher. Forgive me, my dear, but you know how it is. One must circulate, go round and round.
My dear. He called me my dear. Sweeter than the roses, covered all over from head to toe with sweet wine lips. Oh dear, I only seem to sing that when I'm worried about something. 'Tis the last rose of summer, left blooming alone. All her lovely companions are faded.
What the devil? An explosion? A gas main or whatever. You fangled nonsense, really. Unless it's a bomb. In Baker Street. Holmes, by God! Holmes!
Hurry, man! Hurry, hurry, hurry! At the gallop, for God's sake!
You do run great risks, old chap. Criminals, anarchists, fiends, foreigners, villains of every cut and kind.
Hurry, my man, hurry!
Could be any one of them. At your throat. Sodom and Gomorrah. Great heavens, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, God! 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 A half sovereign for you, my man, for almost killing me. Holmes?
Watson!
Your front door, it's in smithereens!
Nothing escapes your keen observation, my dear fellow. And how are you? And how is the charming and gracious Mrs. Watson?
What are you doing with that pistol? Have you shot somebody?
Not yet. I've merely shot a parcel.
A parcel?
A bomb. In the letterbox. An explosive device disguised as a book. Immediately identifiable by smell.
It smelt of an explosive.
Method, Watson. It did not smell of any of the 17 resinous gums employed in book production. And I was expecting it, naturally.
But the fiend who planted this engine, he has escaped.
He doubtless believes he's escaped.
And it is vital that he should think so.
You are having him followed by some street idler or other.
Of course, by one of my Baker Street irregulars. It is less important that this go-between be punished than that he should lead me to the source of this evil, this canker at the heart of our great city, and of civilization itself, if my suspicion is correct. Will you come upstairs for a dish of Souchong tea?
But this is frightening, Holmes.
Oh, I hardly think so, Watson. My extensive knowledge of chemistry should be amply sufficient for the preparation of Souchong tea. I had a kettle on the boil, as it happens. After you, my dear chap. It's like being back in your second Afghan war, all this, is it not?
You are monstrously cheerful in the circumstances.
I'm cheerful because of the circumstances. It's a positive relief to see that bomb. No idea how mortally bored I've been for the past week, Watson. Reduced to playing that dreadful Mendelssohn violin concerto over and over again. A flashy, meretricious piece, I grant you, but sufficiently banal to impose a discipline while I waited for my adversary to declare himself again. Oh, do go in, old chap.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, I think I'd better take the basket chair off of that excitement. The door. Holmes, you will let the Strait of Scotland Yard in on this business, won't you?
I'm afraid it's beyond the honest endeavours of the good Inspector Lestrade. But do please accept my apologies for my lamentable behaviour of last evening.
You did see me through the window.
I didn't need to. Your manner of using my door knocker has a quite Watsonian, not to say Wagnerian, rhythm, as distinctive as a fingerprint.
You surprise me.
I played you the Mendelssohn, quite obviously, to warn you off.
If I'd understood that, I might have been more grateful. But you were waiting, you said, for your adversary to declare himself again.
Correct.
And I should perhaps tell you, Holmes, even though she might not wish me to divulge the fact, that yesterday afternoon, Mrs. Hudson...
paid a confidential visit to your surgery to tell you that on Tuesday of last week, I returned home with my clothes in a sorry state and my face covered in bruises. Ah, good. I tend to give Souchong 4 minutes and 17 seconds to infuse, if that is agreeable to you.
Yes, yes, I expect so. Are you telling me you had Mrs. Hudson followed?
Naturally.
But why, for heaven's sake?
To see if she was already being followed, quite obviously. I do believe the shock of that parcel bomb has slowed you up, old chap.
So this first attempt, when you returned covered in bruises...
That was not the first attempt. It was the third within 4 days.
Good heavens!
On Tuesday of last week, I was cut across the face with a whip and run down by a headlong two-horse van in Paddington Street. I pursued it as soon as I could, but it must have vanished undercover somewhere around Charterhouse Street.
How dreadful! And rather like the first attempt by Professor Moriarty that time, oddly enough.
On Wednesday morning, I was almost sliced in two by a falling slate in Wigmore Street. I rushed up to the roof, but found only open skylights here and there.
Through which a malefactor could have escaped. But that, too, is a little strange, is it not? Exchange the loose slate for a brick, and it is quite like the second attempt by Professor Moriarty.
Precisely, Watson.
And the third attempt on Friday night, when you returned covered in cuts and bruises.
I was set upon at midnight in Cavendish Square by three ruffians with cudgels. They attacked keenly, I promise you, and I was all but overwhelmed.
My dear fellow.
In fact, I was only able to immobilize two of them with my Japanese baritsu, while the third, whose face was covered, made his escape. Oh, but they were just common roughs, with no idea of the identity of this third man who had hired them, so I saw no reason to detain them.
But this is uncanny, Holmes. It is close to that third attempt inspired by Professor Moriarty.
Precisely, Watson.
A similar sequence.
Precisely, Watson.
What an extraordinary coincidence.
You sound just like Inspector Lestrade, my dear chap. There is no such thing as a coincidence for the scientific mind. Only facts, the relationship between which has not yet been perceived.
But heavens above, Holmes, you're not suggesting...
I never suggest. I infer, I deduce. Remember the method, old chap, deduction and analysis.
What I mean is... isn't Moriarty supposed to be dead for the last 6 years or so?
Precisely, Watson.
You did see him die, didn't you?
I saw him fall and bounce off a black rock far below before tumbling into the abyss.
But we never actually knew that his body had been found.
Precisely, Watson.
So what do you conclude?
I conclude that I must regretfully decline your invitation to dine this evening with your Viennese colleague, Dr. Sigismund Freud, though I understand he prefers to be known as Sigmund.
But dear God, Holmes, how on earth did you know about Freud and my intention to invite you?
Deduction and analysis, my dear fellow, deduction and analysis. I further conclude that I must at once find McManaway.
McManaway?
We are at the close of our 19th century, Watson. There are strange currents and deep shadows darkening the smooth waters of our time. A new and sinister evil is creeping like an insidious mist into the very air we breathe. I shall first find McManaway.
But who on earth is McManaway?
The carpenter, my dear chap. One is not on the very edge of an uncharted 20th century, presumed to live in this great and mysterious city without the defense of a stout front door. Oh, may I ask you to stay here and then let yourself out when McManaway arrives?
But won't you come back with him, Holmes?
There is evil afoot, Watson. I must get to the root of it. You will oblige me immensely by meeting me tomorrow at the conclusion of your morning surgery in the steam room at Neville's. Goodbye, old chap. And do give my warm regards to the delightful Mrs. Watson.
But Holmes,
I think you will find, my dear fellow, that it is now exactly time to drink your Souchong tea.
But won't you have some tea, Holmes?
Unlike Professor Moriarty, I have never, Watson, I do assure you, never had a taste for your Souchong tea.
My Souchong tea? My Souchong tea.
Oh, they are so tender, Mrs. Watson. So beautiful.
Do you think so, Dr. Freud? Mm.
So round. So full. Mm. So soft. So delicate.
Well, thank you, Dr. Freud.
So delicious. Your dumplings. Not so, my dear.
Yes, I am greatly attached to my wife's dumplings. Indeed, I'm afraid I'm all too attached to my wife's dumplings.
Ah, so, a most interesting symptom.
Yes, I mean, I'm putting on rather a lot of weight.
You begin to be a large dumpling, my dear.
If you'll forgive me, I'll just go and arrange for coffee.
Oh, you will unfortunately leave us, Mrs. Watson.
I'm sure you have important, manly things to do. Like smoking cigars and discussing obscure nervous lesions. You will have coffee, Dr. Freud?
You're so kind, but I think no coffee.
Would you perhaps prefer tea?
Thank you. You guess my desires. Allow me. Oh,
you are most gallant, Dr. Freud.
Thank you.
You'll join me in smoking a Corona.
Oh, with pleasure, yes. Ah, you have a delightful wife, my dear. You're a fortunate man.
Yes, I must say I'm most happily married.
Yes. Yes. Sherlock Holmes is not a man for women, I think.
No, well, he can be most charming to ladies, even flirtatious. But I fear he perhaps is something of a misogynist.
Ah, of course, yes. He wants to keep his brain ice cold, free of all emotion.
How very perceptive of you. That's exactly what he says.
Mm.
I'm sorry he was unable to dine with us this evening, but I'll try again tomorrow at Neville's.
Neville's?
Yes, I'm meeting him in the steam room after surgery. Mm.
You meet in a... a bathhouse? Quietly, perhaps.
No, quite openly. A Turkish bath, you know.
Ah, so. Turkish. Interesting. But you are afraid, not so. You worry about Holmes, I think.
How remarkably perceptive you are. Yes, I am a little concerned, I confess. He's been the subject of several attacks recently. Very like the series of attacks inspired 6 years ago by... Oh, never mind.
By Professor Mortuary. It's another Freud slip, my dear. But not accidental, always significant.
In what way, Dr. Freud?
Death. Mors mortis in Latin, yeah? Professor Moriarty, Professor Mortuary, Professor Death. Or Messenger of Death.
Good heavens, what a frightening thought.
The thought will not have frightened your Sherlock Holmes, I think. He's pleased, yes, cheerful.
Well, yes, he's quite exuberant, strange enough. But then, Moriarty is dead, surely.
Nobody is ever dead for the unconscious, my dear.
Are you suggesting that Holmes may be unable to accept that Moriarty is dead?
I never suggest, my dear. I deduce. And I have not yet examined the patient. I mean your friend. I say only that many men need a Moriarty. Ah, so, Mrs. Watson, you return.
Just to ask which tea you might prefer, Dr. Freud. Pekoe, oolong, or souchong?
Ah, you make me so happy, Mrs. Watson. Ah, souchong. Always souchong.
You do try, Jack. I'll say that for you.
I'm so sorry, my dear. I've wakened you.
But of course you haven't, Jack. I've been lying wondering how long you were going to be in that bathroom.
Can't you sleep, then? Oh,
certainly I can sleep. But I'm not sleeping. It's Friday night, Jack.
Oh, Lord, yes, Friday night. So it is. Heavens above, yes, indeed. Quite, yes, I'm sorry, my dear, but with all these goings on, I hardly know whether I'm coming or going. Especially in the dark.
Dr. Freud certainly knows where he's going.
Oh, heavens, yes. He'd rather go on about your dumplings. Brilliant man, of course, frighteningly so, but really quite flirtatious and flattering to the ladies. Worse than Holmes.
Well, of course. The difference is that Freud means it. Oh, but he's so charming, Jack. So amusing.
Yes, I could see you were very taken with him.
Well, he has such wonderful eyes, doesn't he? So deep and dark and velvety above that black beard. Quite hypnotic, really. You must be a little more Viennese, Jack.
I'll try, my dear. But I do wish he'd stop calling me, my dear. Very odd fellow, some of these foreigners.
Oh, I expect that's just what they say in German. You know, mein...
Just mein lieber, you mean, instead of mein lieber whatnot, you know. Mein lieber chap.
That's nice.
Yes. Just hope he doesn't start calling Holmes, my dear, when he sees him. If he sees him.
Oh, dear. It's Holmes again, is it?
I'm sorry, but those attacks on him, something odd about them.
What?
I don't know what. But I think I'd better drop in at Scotland Yard in the morning to ask Lestrade to investigate on the quiet.
Without telling Holmes? But he wouldn't like that, Jack. He mightn't forgive you.
I'll just have to make sure he doesn't find out.
You surely don't think he's been imagining these attacks?
No, and he didn't imagine what happened this morning, at least. I heard the explosion myself and saw the door in smithereens.
And he was badly affected, was he?
Not in the least. He was excited. Elated.
Jack, you don't think...
I don't know what to think. He's a genius, of course. But he will starve himself in that dangerous fashion... And he does fall back on drugs from time to time. Mind as finely tuned as his, well, who knows, it might just topple over.
Like Moriarty, toppling over that ledge into the Reichenbach Falls. Frightening.
Indeed.
Hold me, Jack. Yeah. Oh, that's better.
Oh, yes, my dear. That is better.
What was he like, Jack? This awful Professor Moriarty?
Oh, dear.
Well, he was a sort of Napoleon of evil, as Holmes put it. The brains behind almost all the crime in London and much of it on the continent.
Yes, but as a man, face to face.
I'm afraid I never saw him face to face. I just glimpsed this tall figure in the distance at Victoria Station and only noticed a dark outline on my way back down from the Reichenbach Falls. Nobody knew what he looked like, except Holmes.
Which makes it all even more frightening. Talk to me about something else, Jack. Anything.
All right. Tea.
Tea?
Why am I never served souchong tea?
Oh, because on the one occasion you were served it, you said it was weak and effeminate and fit only for pampered pussycats. Why'd you ask?
Oh, I was just struck by a coincidence. If there still are such things.
I think you're just jealous of your flirtatious Dr. Freud, Jack.
Oh, I don't know. Should I be?
Well, you'll just have to find that out for yourself somewhere or other, won't you, Jack? It's a good, strong feeling. So, isn't it, Jack?
Anyway, that's the position of Inspector Lestrade. I just thought, you know, that a series of attacks like that... Well, it's curious, rather.
Curious enough, as they go.
So it occurred to me, since, of course, you have your own sources of information...
Oh, not to worry, Dr. Watson, I'll be glad to look into it. He's been... quite useful to us on occasion, has Mr. Holmes? Yes. I quite envy him, in fact.
Yes, I can see how you might.
Well, he hasn't a proper line of work, like you or me, has he? So he's got the leisure to follow through on a single case. Not like us here at the Yard, understaffed and bogged down with the rubbish.
Yes, there is that, I suppose.
Oh, and of course, being a gentleman, he can get into the upper class stuff more easily than the likes of us. Just one little thing, though, Dr. Watson.
Yes?
Do I take it you'd prefer me not to consult Mr. Holmes himself about this?
Not consult Holmes? Oh, well, I mean, heavens above. Still... How could you suggest it? Perhaps you're right. For the moment, of course, then. Just for the moment. Watson? Oh, there you are, Holmes. It's foggier in here than it is outside, by Jove. Is there a special reason for meeting in Neville's steam room?
To eliminate...
And not so easy for them to conceal weapons, you mean?
Not so easy to wear a false black beard.
So you're hot on the trail, are you?
I can think of nothing more engaging, my dear Watson, than your inadvertent humour.
But I...
Let us say that the geography has been clarified.
The geography?
The van used in the first attack, you would recall, vanished under cover around Charterhouse Street. The man who escaped in the third attack hired the two ruffians whom I overpowered in West Smithfield.
Which is very close to Charterhouse Street. I know it well. Quite close to Bart's. And you caught a glimpse of this third man, you said.
He was tall, with impressive dark eyes. It was night, of course, and his face was covered. But I'm sure he wore a black beard, true or false. Oh, I didn't hear him speak.
The men he hired must have talked to him, obviously, and given you a fuller description.
Their description added nothing material, and they, too, did not hear him speak.
That's strange. Do you think it's significant?
Everything is significant.
And the letterbox bomb of yesterday, what about the individual who planted that?
His description conforms to that of this third man. He was tracked to Bart's and then lost. He seems to have known his way around the hospital.
But this is extraordinary. Charterhouse Street and West Smithfield are also close to Bart's.
Precisely, Watson. I need hardly add that Mrs. Hudson was traced back to you, and that you were subsequently traced to the Viennese Alienist's lecture at Bart's.
You surely don't imagine I'm involved in all this, Holmes?
No, not wittingly, Watson. I'm certain of that.
Not wittingly? What on earth do you mean by that?
Oh, you're a man of such exemplary trust and candor, my dear fellow.
You mean I'm naive and not excessively bright?
I mean there are others who may trade on your admirable simplicity of heart. Hmm. You hadn't attended a lecture at Bart's for years, had you?
No, but I received a rather flattering note from Sir Reginald with a formal invitation. I assumed he had read my monograph.
On obscure nervous lesions.
Yes. Hmm.
But you didn't, in fact, discuss it with him at the reception.
Well, no. But, of course, there were so many people.
Nor have you at all seriously discussed it with Dr. Freud.
Well, not seriously, I suppose, but then there was so much else. Good God, Holmes, you're not suggesting, or deducing, if you must, that neither of them had actually read my monograph.
You will not think me ungenerous, old chap, if I infer that Dr. Freud was less interested than he seemed in your work on nervous lesions, that he was more interested in cultivating your acquaintance with a view to obtaining access to myself.
Well, naturally, since you're so famous, he would be very pleased to meet you. Indeed, in his lecture, he gave a rather brilliant demonstration of Holmesian deduction. Mm. But it all arose, if I remember, from a question I asked about his scientific method.
A question which he invited?
Invited? Confound you, Holmes. I think you have something. You may well be right about all this.
I can't dissent from your conclusion. Dr. Freud is staying in the guest room at Bart's, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you ever mistaken?
And since you have no surgery of a Saturday afternoon, you have offered to show him some of the more informal sights of London?
He was quite keen to visit the haunts of Jack the Ripper in the East End. Would you care to accompany us and hold my hand?
That would be unnecessary. However, I should be happy to see you both if you would care to come to Baker Street at 6 o'clock. Oh, if that is convenient.
I should think it might be.
I shall be more than interested to meet your friend, Dr. Freud. And now, I propose that we retire to the cool room, where we must carefully avoid this subject. Tell me, old chap, how is the charming and gracious Mrs. Watson?
Look here, Holmes, I'm worried about all this. Hmm? If you're really saying that Dr. Freud is wittingly or unwittingly involved in any of this...
I'm not saying anything, my dear fellow. One forms a hypothesis and one tests it against the available facts.
Just so long as you're not trying to make out that Freud is actually Professor Moriarty.
But you astound me, Watson. How can you fail to see that the horror hanging over Europe, if my suspicion is correct, is far greater than could be imagined by a mere Moriarty? You astound me, my dear fellow. You really do.
Stop here, driver, if you would. That's it, over there. George Yard Buildings.
And that is where the first woman was found, huh?
Yes, on the stone staircase.
Mm. This was when?
Early August, as I recall. Warm August.
Yes, that would be favorable. And she had been stabbed many times, I assume.
Close on 40 times, poor woman.
So it's anger explosive already. It's good. Shall we not get down and examine more?
You'd like to.
What a pity that Sherlock Holmes could not come with us to visit Jack, my dear.
I'm beginning to wish he had come with us.
Yes, I'm afraid he's otherwise engaged.
Now, the guest room is obviously in this wing, but is this the right corridor? Good afternoon, sister.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Convenient how a top hat and a stethoscope around your neck make you so obvious as to be invisible, especially when you're bent on a little illegal entry. Ha! Here we are, I think. Yes, a standard mortise lock of primitive pretensions. 4 seconds, I fancy. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah!
So, wardrobe. Eliminated. Bed. Bedside table. Also eliminated.
No weapons so far. Desk. Single drawer. Locked. Four-lever box lock. Lecture notes. There's a case history of some kind. Ah. Autobiographische Notizen. Notes told an autobiography, evidently. And what's this? Fragmente einer Selbstanalyse. Fragments of a self-analysis. Also marked Steigstens vertraulich. Strictly private and confidential. I should think so, by God. Great heaven above. Great heaven.
Thank you, my man. Shall we get out this time again?
Of course.
Ah, so, Hanbury Street.
Yes, and that's the house where the third poor woman was found. Annie Chapman, I do believe she was called.
But she was not found dead on the pavement this time. How does he know these things?
Quite right, she was found in the backyard.
Now, that second woman, you said, was stabbed many times like the first.
And had her throat cut.
So the injuries were, of course, this time, quite worse.
You'd almost think he'd done it himself.
Yes, the body was eviscerated this time, disemboweled. Mm.
Oh, this Jack, I almost thought he was abnormal, not so.
Good God almighty.
And then there were the two final murders, with the mutilations reaching the point of madness. Absolute madness.
It's progress, my dear, classical progress. It's a simple case, so boring, it is quite exciting.
Poor women, though.
Yeah, and poor Jack the Ripper. Poor Jack? Oh, he just loved his mother a little small bit too much.
The evil of it. The inconceivable evil of it. Auf dieser Reise. It was on this journey from Leipzig to Vienna, during which we spent a night together, that I first had the opportunity of seeing her nudam. Nudam, indeed. No Latin can hide your nakedness, my friend. It was at this time, therefore, between the ages of two and two and a half, that libido towards Matrem was aroused. Desire for his mother at 2.5? The worm in the bud with a vengeance. Can Europe survive this man? It is the destiny of every man to direct his first sexual impulse towards his mother, as he directs his first hatred and murderous wish towards his father. Good dear God in heaven! The father becomes the rival who must be got rid of because he stands in the way. I have found love of my mother and jealousy of my father in my own case, too. Every man an Oedipus. Oedipus, who killed his father and married his mother, is no human bond sacred to this man. Can civilization itself survive the incestuous, evil contagion of this creature whose very name of Freud so insolently means pleasure, delight, and shameless joy?
Ah, you're so familiar. Room in Baker Street, Mr. Holmes. The bearskin rug. The chemical corner. Oh, the
Stradivarius violin. The pipes on the mantelpiece. As a Persian slipper in which you keep your tobacco. I know them well already.
Thanks, no doubt, to Watson here, who has sought in his own way to mediate my method to the multitude, if perhaps at the cost of some slight anecdotal extravagance.
It's a mea culpa, Holmes, a mea culpa.
And this is where you sit like Solomon, yeah? In the heart of the greatest empire ever seen, yeah? This is where they come to plead for your help from Europe, America, Asia, everywhere. Ambassadors, maharajas, millionaires, Arab sheiks in robes, beautiful duchesses in décolleté, all fearful of dishonor, ruination, or death.
The brighter the light, the blacker the shadow, Dr. Freud. Our Europe has reached the pinnacle of human progress, has it not? Of reason, of science, of industry. We build great factories, we colonize continents, we rule the world. Yet, in our very midst, there is an evil which could topple us all into darkness and cruelty. A conflagration as yet unknown. You will accept a dish of Souchong tea?
You know I drink Souchong.
I know.
Yes, would you like me to pour?
No, yes, if you would, my dear fellow, I shall have oolong. Is it to add fuel to the flames of that conflagration, Dr. Freud, that you have gone to such lengths to meet me?
Oh, I say, Holmes.
But we have much in common already, Mr. Holmes. We both solve dark mysteries, yeah? You deal with social abnormals, I with mental abnormals. We practice the same scientific method. We try from the surface symptom to deduce the hidden hole. Not so?
That is indeed my own practice, to deduce backwards from details to principles. Give a genius a drop of water and he will deduce the Atlantic Ocean.
I have myself deduced an even deeper and darker ocean, Mr. Holmes. The unconscious. Thank you, my dear.
But is not that a horrendous contradiction? Is it not a perversion of the scientific method to apply it to the irrational? Is not your psychoanalysis itself but a symptom of the disease to which it claims to be the cure? Oh,
look, steady on, Holmes.
But your rational man is a myth. He's cardboard. I am not rational. You are not rational. Your famous room here, it's not rational. It also is what you call horrendous contradiction.
Oh, now, have a care, you two.
No, do be quiet, my dear fellow. Look after the tea.
You think you suppress emotion, but you sing and sob with the most sensual, sexual voice of all, the violin. You think you make yourself a deducing machine, but you stab your letters to the wall with a dagger, and you keep your tobacco in an old Persian slipper. You are a romantic, Mr. Holmes, a fin de siècle romantic.
But not so fin de siècle so decadent as to believe that the boy of two desires his mother and wishes to murder his father. Observe, Watson. Will he deny it?
Of course I do not deny. I am proud of it.
Good heavens!
You contain yourself, Watson. You spill the tea. At all events, Dr. Freud, you had a more specific reason to seek me out, did you not? A reason not unconnected with a certain Professor Moriarty?
I do not deny it also. I was interested in Moriarty already since I read Dr. Watson's account of his death.
Yes. I, too, am again interested in Professor Moriarty since recent attempts on my life have run closely parallel to his own attacks of 6 years ago.
Yes, indeed. The parallel is remarkable.
Precisely because it was intended to be remarked, Watson.
But these new attacks, they have not been successful.
Because they have been clumsy, ineffectual. Too obviously so, and therefore deliberately so.
But I think Professor Moriarty, his attacks also were strange, not so? The two-horse van the police think is just a runaway. The brick from the roof they think is just accident. The man who attacks you with his stick they think he's just a thief.
Of course they did. He was far too clever for the Scotland Yard lot.
But not so clever he kills you, not so? Even at the Reichenbach Falls, he has no gun to shoot you. All, as you say, clumsy and ineffectual.
also deliberately so?
You are clever, sir.
And is it not strange that nobody but you sees this Moriarty?
Devilish clever, sir.
That you hide for 3 years from his simple helpers when you never hide from Moriarty.
Observe how this fiend has betrayed himself, Watson. You think Professor Moriarty was the philosopher of evil. This man is beyond good and evil. You think Moriarty was the demiurge of European crime. This man would smash every sacred taboo of European civilization and plunge us into darkness.
Yeah, but I do wonder, Holmes...
Who better than this Freud to don the mantle of Moriarty? Who better than an alienist to neutralize me so cunningly by undermining my sanity? To seek first to persuade me that Moriarty is still alive, and then to persuade me that he never even existed.
But can you demonstrate this, Holmes?
I can certainly demonstrate it, Watson. And this formidable fiend will be too proud to deny it. You arrived in London, sir, on Monday the 5th.
Correct.
The first 3 attacks upon me took place on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of that week. The following morning, Saturday the 10th, you left for Manchester to visit your half-brothers who lived there.
Correct.
On Thursday the 15th, you returned to London. The parcel bomb attack took place the following day, as did your indirect approach to Watson at St. Bart's, designed, of course, to gain access to myself.
Dr. Watson, I'm sorry, my dear. This also is correct.
The attacks have been traced to a man with a black beard such as your own. He was clearly acting from Bart's, where you also were staying. He refrained from speaking even when hiring his 2 roughs in order to conceal his accent. Can you deny this sequence of events, Dr. Freud?
No.
Will you therefore deny that you are the man responsible for these attacks?
That I am the man responsible for these attacks?
Will you deny it, sir?
Please, Dr. Freud.
Once again, sir, do you deny it?
I beg you, Dr. Freud, speak.
For the last time, sir, do you deny it?
No.
You are drinking a lot of whiskey, Jack.
But it was dreadful, my dear, dreadful. I can still hear Holmes saying that if he found him fomenting a conflagration in Europe, he would pursue him to the ends of the earth. A nightmare.
Well, it'll all be over tomorrow at least. Oh, which reminds me, there was a message from Inspector Lestrade. Something about a letter, and he'd be ready to report back to you tomorrow at noon.
Made a proper fool of myself there as well, haven't I? Just another embarrassment now that Freud has confessed. Almost as bad as having to see him off at Victoria Station in the morning.
You're still seeing him off? After what he's done?
Holmes asked me to make sure that he leaves the country. And Freud said he'd be much obliged, yah. As between medical men, I suppose.
Oh, that cheek of a man. Extraordinary. He confessed freely, you say?
He was driven to confess. Never have I seen Holmes wield his methods so magnificently, so murderously. He quite systematically cut the fellow to pieces. And do you know what he did as he left, that monster Freud?
No. What did he do?
He smiled, my dear, if you'd believe it. That's what he did. He smiled.
Ah, so you come at last.
Accept my formal apology, sir. The traffic around Victoria Station is becoming impossible.
I almost thought you were angry with me, my dear.
I presume your luggage is on board, sir?
You did not share my diagnosis of Sherlock Holmes? But this is also a simple case. So simple it is disappointing, yeah?
I fail to follow you, sir.
Typical paranoia, my dear, with typical delusions of grandeur and persecution, yeah? No loss of mental power, that's also typical, but all used on obsession.
What the devil are you suggesting, man? You brazenly confess to a series of attacks on Mr. Sherlock Holmes. And
you think Dr. Freud of Vienna treats his patients with sticks and bombs?
But you admitted it. I heard you.
I had to admit it, my dear. To save from danger, Mr. Holmes, the condition is cyclical. The patient must be made stable after you make your bad mistake, yeah?
What bad mistake? What do you mean?
Persecution mania needs a persecuting maniac, not so? Imaginary Moriarty is very good. He's evil, he's cunning, he's invisible, he's mysterious. But you, unfortunately, tell the world that Moriarty is dead. So poor Holmes has to invent another devil and put bombs in his own letterbox, yeah?
Good heavens. Good heavens.
But evil Dr. Freud makes a very good devil, not so? He is alive, he's foreign, he has a black beard, he's a cunning psychoanalyst, and he's leaving England next day, so he also is invisible, yeah?
Good heavens. Good heavens.
All aboard, please. Oh. All aboard.
Yes, I climb up, I think.
You still haven't said why you maneuvered to get to Holmes in the first place.
It's obvious, my dear. He's famous, he's brilliant, he has scientific method. He is perfect test case for the power of the unconscious. Not so?
Just supposing you are right about him, Dr. Freud. How can I help him?
Drink his souchong tea, admire his method, be his good friend in the bathhouse.
Be his good friend in the bathhouse?
You are his protection, my dear. He has homosexual anxiety. It is innocent. It is unconscious. It is typical in paranoia. He does not know we are all bisexual, huh?
Yeah? I mean, are we?
But you are so happy, so ordinary, so married to lovely lady. With you, he is safe, yeah? But to hide his tobacco in person slipper and play on his narcissistic violin, yeah?
Mind the doors, please! Mind the doors!
Yes. Goodbye, my dear. I think, however, he is right about one thing, dear Sherlock Holmes. I fear it will come, yeah?
Oh, well, what's that, Dr. Freud? What thing?
It's a conflagration, my dear. It's a conflagration.
Good heavens. Good heavens.
I really shouldn't have troubled you, Inspector Lestrade. As a matter of fact, I think the problem has resolved itself.
Pretty much, Dr. Watson. But then, they generally do. I've got the letter here somewhere. Not so much confessing to the attacks on Mr. Holmes as jeering at yours truly for not being able to catch the bugger. But we've got broadbacks at Scotland Yard, as you know better than most, Dr. Watson. Ah, here it is. He lists the attacks, as you see, with all the correct details. Oh, was our old friend Hollingdale all right?
Hollingdale? It's not signed Hollingdale. It's signed Guess Who?
Except that I've seen the writing so many times, I don't need to guess who. And there weren't so much serious attacks, obviously, as bids to attract attention. He's educated, of course.
Educated?
Yes. He did a year of medical studies at Guy's before he went funny the first time and had to be put away. That's why he was able to pick up this job at Bart's as a lab assistant after he escaped again the other week.
A lunatic?
Yes. Oh, but an amusing one. With a nice line in cheek. He was apparently doing the lantern slides for some Viennese lecturer at Bart's the other day, in full view of a large audience.
Then I saw the fellow. A black-bearded chap indeed. This is incredible. Except that Holmes's attacker didn't speak for some reason. Has he a strange accent,
Hollingdale? Well, he has a bit of a cleft palate they couldn't cure, if that's what you mean. Part of his trouble, I expect.
Good God! So the attacks on Holmes were real?
Oh, you'd hardly have asked me to investigate, would you? If you didn't think they were real.
No, of course not. Good heavens, quite right. But why should he attack Holmes in any case?
I'm afraid he's been reading too much of your criminal writings, Dr. Watson. Oh, it's a routine copycat crime, and a time waster at that. Did Mr. Holmes think it was the ghost of the fiendish Professor Moriarty?
Good God, no, no. Heavens above. Dear Professor Moriarty, there was a one. Wasn't he real?
Well, he wasn't as real as you and Mr. Holmes seem to have imagined, Dr. Watson. No, I did run across him once or twice. Not a real criminal, of course. Not in it for the money or the missus. No. An amateur. Out for a thrill, God help us. A bit of a bent gent, as you might say. He never gave us too much trouble. Died in Switzerland. Some falls or other, didn't I hear?
Yes, I believe there was something to that effect.
Oh, be careful, Jack. You'll burn the house down.
I'm sorry, my dear. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
You don't even seem to care what you're doing anymore.
I mean, Holmes is wrong about Freud, and Freud is wrong about Holmes. Unless each is half right about the other, and you're supposed to guess which half is which in each case.
You haven't got the scientific method. That's your trouble.
Or else lunatics like Hollingdale just don't fit into the closed energy system. Funny thing is, they seem so alike in so many ways. Holmes and Freud.
Well, perhaps that's the problem.
They both flirted hard enough with you, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, but for different reasons, Jack. Dr. Freud has sisters, I gathered. He knows about women. He could cope with a dozen wives, I think. And he's not happy, really. I don't think he's, well, no, satisfied.
But Holmes is a different matter.
Well, yes. He didn't have any sisters. He was probably a lonely little boy. He still is in some ways, you know, showing off. He just flirts with women, I think, to keep them at bay.
You don't think that, well, perhaps he's just not interested in women.
Oh, no, Jack, not that. He's just rather shy.
No, we did agree on one point at least.
What's that?
But that's even stranger, isn't it?
What is?
How could two such brilliant men think such a thing?
Think what, Jack?
Well, that after a generation of peace and progress in Europe, there could be some sort of, you know, conflagration.
The Singular Case of Sherlock H. and Siegmund F. was written by Cecil Jenkins. Norman Rodway was Dr. John Watson, Ronald Pickup, Sherlock Holmes, Andrew Sachs, Dr. Sigmund Freud, and Sheila Mitchell, Mrs. Watson. Inspector Lestrade was played by Michael Deacon. The violinist was Catherine Adams. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.
Sherlock Holmes crops up in rather different guise on a historic BBC recording in The Radio Collection. Four of the famous old radio productions starring Carlton Hobbs and Norman Shelley have just been issued on a double cassette, and you should be able to find it in book and record shops. Alternatively, you can order it by telephone on this number. 0753 692 252 0753 692-252.